The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. America is in big trouble, and it's getting worse all the time. With each passing day, the problems just continue to multiply for our beloved country and our allies, with no let-up or meaningful solutions in sight. Why is this? Why is this frightening state of affairs happening to the United States of America, both internally and externally, globally? Why can't something be done about it? We see the principle of cause and effect in play, and we're going to go into that as we move along and discuss the subject. But first, let's just look at a few categories regarding the downward spiral and the decline of America on the world scene today. Look at our economy. We're in big trouble and we're in terrible shape economically. We used to lead the world economically, but now we trail the world economically. Instead of lending to other nations, we borrow and borrow and borrow. We can't even come up with a budget to address this horrendous situation. The trade imbalance between our imports and our exports runs into the billions on a monthly basis. We import way more goods than we export, and it didn't used to be that way. This hurts our economy and really impacts the jobs and the livelihood of Americans and of others in the countries that are our allies, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and others. And militarily, we continue to reduce our capabilities through what is called sequester. We are cutting back more and more on military bases, military hardware, troop strengths. We now have fewer ships in the Navy than we had in 1917. Can you imagine? And we're headed toward having fewer troops than we had prior to World War II. This is not a good direction for our military to go in. We're falling short of fighter pilots for our fighter jets, and we're told that in a few short years, we'll be 700 to 800 pilots short to pilot our frontline fighter jets. More and more cuts in military weaponry and in military readiness is underway because of budget problems. Politically, we're losing influence around the world. We just are. In fact, in some quarters, we're a laughingstock. We see our flag being burned. We're seeing our president maligned. Country after country doesn't want to have anything to do with us. They want our money. They want our handouts, but they don't want our influence at all. Right now in Egypt, there is a horrific battle going on between those who are pro-Muslim Brotherhood and those who are anti-Muslim Brotherhood, and both sides don't like America now. And we have poured in economic aid for years into that country and military aid. And now they've turned on us. Both sides have turned on us. And they swagger around and say, well, your mere $1.6 billion is not a drop in the bucket to the $10 billion or $12 billion we get from other countries. I'm paraphrasing it, but that came out in the news recently. And as far as what we think about a situation or what we recommend about a circumstance, it's just shrugged off in so many instances now. And in the UN, a gathering of the United Nations or leaders from the various nations around the world, we're ridiculed and attacked openly, right in open session. Why is this happening? Why is the prestige of the United States of America in the tank and getting deeper into the hole? And we're having less and less impact anywhere. People don't pay attention to us. Governments don't pay attention to us. They don't care what we think. They don't view us as a threat. And just recently in the Wall Street Journal and in other papers, it's come out now that many countries around the world do not view us any longer as the number one superpower, globally speaking. They view us as first among equals quite often, but now that's even passé. And we're just viewed as timid, bumbling, stumbling, directionless, leaderless, indecisive. We're afraid to take action, afraid to follow up and see it all the way through. We seem cowed down and intimidated in the eyes of many, many people around the world, while we continue to be the number one nation in terms of foreign aid in terms of helping people out, in terms of being there when there's a catastrophe. That seems to be just brushed under the rug and forgotten when it comes to having meaningful trade agreements and meaningful political interaction with a growing chorus of nations, and some of them very, very powerful nations. Just recently, Russia, and we thought we were getting along with Russia much better, refused to extradite an individual that we wanted them to send back over here for trial. Refused to do it. They didn't care what kind of threats that we issued. They didn't care what kind of urgings that we brought forth to convince them they ought to send this man back. They simply gave him asylum and said they're not going to send him back. So what? Who cares what you want us to do? We're not going to do it, in so many words. Just thumb their nose at us. Look at the educational situation internally in our country. More and more, our educational system is being corrupted. Teachers are having less and less respect shown them by the students and by the parents of the students. And now we hear about some schools not just having armed guards on campus, but actually having teachers that are going to be armed, because it's becoming so dangerous to come to school in certain areas of the United States of America. There have been so many tragic, horrible shootings and so many instances of violence in our school system. You see from time to time fights in the schoolroom and bullies in the hallways and terrible beatings on buses. What's the parent to do? You send your children off to school to be educated, and you hope they get back in the evening safe and sound and that they've learned something. When will this change? When is this going to be turned around? Why is this happening? Where are we headed? You know, if we don't have an educated nation, we're going to be passed up by nations that are educating their population and their young people. And they're going to leave us in the dust, and that's exactly what's happening. And take a look at the national catastrophes that are taking place in our country year after year after year. Why? Why is this taking place? Why are records being broken in terms of storms and destruction and horrible circumstances that people are put in when these catastrophic weather events hit a particular area like Moore, Oklahoma? Consider the number of hurricanes and especially the number of tornadoes that hit our country now, usually in the spring and in the fall. It just wipes out right down to the ground whole towns and cities and neighborhoods. And people are left homeless, and oftentimes many people are killed. Why is this taking place? And in some parts of the country, flooding, flooding, and more flooding. So much water they can't possibly manage it. And in other parts of the country, drought, no rain, turning into dust bowls. Right in our wonderful country today, we see this happening. How many times when we watch the news do we hear about wildfires? And they just take off. And first thing you know, they're burning thousands and multiple thousands of acres into the square miles, wiping out whole forests, wiping out whole neighborhoods, burning up homes, and causing death. And just recently, a tragedy happened in Arizona where we lost 19 of the very best firefighters we have when they got trapped in a wildfire in Arizona. And our hearts go out to their families. This is horrendous. This is horrible. This is so discouraging to see what is happening in our country. And many of the policies that are being enacted by our government, and that goes for local, state, and national government, are creating a problem for the average person just to make a living, to find a job, to draw a decent wage, to meet the cost of living. When food just keeps on climbing and fuel prices just keep on going up, and yet wages stay the same, or they start going down. It used to be that in a typical household, dad went out to work and mom stayed home and took care of the home and took care of the kids and took care of all of the many wonderful, productive things that need to be taken care of at home. And now just about everybody in the house has to work in order to make ends meet or they lose their house. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way. But in fact, that's the way it is. Now, we know that all of these catastrophes, as we read the pages of the Bible and understand Bible prophecy, are going to become more and more intense and more devastating if we don't come to our senses as a nation and get back to God and His ways. That's what's going to have to happen. But will that happen? Let's just notice some of the prophecies in the Bible regarding the state of affairs we see ourselves in today in our country. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 and begin reading there. And we'll start off by reading about how it could have been. You know, quite often in the Bible, prophecies are dual. And you have prophecies that have an early fulfillment and a latter fulfillment in the last days. Not all prophecies are that way, but many of them are. And here in Deuteronomy 28 is a case in point. And we read about God addressing Israel. Well, who is Israel and who is Jacob in the Bible when you get into the prophecies? It's not just talking about that little nation in the Middle East called Israel. We have material that's free of charge that will explain who Israel is today in Bible prophecy. And it'll lay it right out and you'll be able to see it very clearly. All you have to do is just ask for it and we'll send it to you free. But let's start here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 and read. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Did you see that? What's the requirement? To keep his commandments, to obey Almighty God. And if we would repent and start doing that, we would once again become the number one nation on earth today in every respect, as we once were, but no longer are. All these blessings, verse 2, Deuteronomy 28, shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. It's just like you're running along and something overtakes you. Well, in this case, it'd be something good like blessings. They just overwhelm you. There'll be so many blessings if you'll just hearken to me, God says. But do you see us as a nation hearkening to God? Do you see us as community starting to hearken to God and put him first place in our lives and first place in our homes? God is getting pushed further and further out of the picture. He's no longer a factor in the lives of a growing number of people in the world today and in the United States and in the Western world. Who thinks about God? Who cares about God? Who submits and surrenders to Almighty God? Some do, but very few, comparatively speaking. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Your crops will just be wonderful and beautiful, and you'll get rain in due season, and the crops will be healthy, and they will promote health in those that eat the food. Crime will be a thing of the past in the cities, whereas now it's a horrible problem. Day and night, people just mowing one another down, shooting people in parking lots and in shopping malls and in homes and on streets and neighborhoods, men, women, and children. It's almost out of hand, and it is out of hand in some places. Doesn't have to be that way. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kind, or of your livestock, and the flocks of your sheep. In other words, children born in good health, and born on time, and born with a tremendous chance to have a great life, and animals giving birth to offspring that are healthy and sturdy and strong. That's the way it should be, and that's the way it could be, but it's not that way all too often today, as you well know, if you just give some sober and careful thought to it. Blessed shall be your basket and your store, your food and your food supply. Now we hear about tainted food and food that carries bacteria that can cause death or terrible disease or sickness. It gets all corrupted and polluted and tainted along the way. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You just live your everyday lives, and you're protected, and you're safe, and you're healthy and happy and productive, and families are good and strong and close, and neighborhoods are helping one another, and the nation is thriving and prosperous. That's the way it should be. But it's not that way. It's just problem after problem after problem. And when you sit down to watch the news, or you turn on the radio, or wherever you get your news, read the newspaper, how much good news do you read about? A little bit here or there. And there are still some really good people trying to do good things, but it's becoming less and less that way. It's just one catastrophe after another, one wreck, one storm, one crime spree, one kidnapping, one murder, one brutal act after another brutal act, man to man and human to human. Not just here, but around the world, but it seems like especially here. Why? Because God is not in the picture, and cause and effect is now coming into play. Whatever you sow, you reap. You sow good seed, and you reap good fruit. You sow bad seed, you reap bad fruit. And good seed means God is in the picture in your life, and in the community, and in the state, and in the nation. We have on our money, in God we trust. Do we do that? Very few people trust in God. Very few people care what God says. Very few people even consider God and His ways and His laws. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. And the only way that's going to be turned around and reversed is if we begin to put God as number one in our country. And we're not ashamed to pray to God at public gatherings. We're not ashamed to talk about God to others in our conversation. I don't mean pressuring people and preaching to people and overwhelming people and cornering people. I don't mean that. But I mean freely talking about our feelings about God and His word and His way without being ashamed and having a conversation along that line. And that's very important to us, what God says and what He thinks. And we sing to Him and sing about Him and we pray to Him. And we have Bibles right out there in the open in public. And we have proclamations on our buildings and we have the Ten Commandments published in our hallways. Why not? That's a thing of the past. God is being wiped out of the picture, and these blessings are going the same way. They're no longer in the picture. And we see the decline, the plunging of our country over the cliff and down, down, down. What a sad, sad, tragic state of affairs. Notice verse 8. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, in your grocery stores, in your warehouses, and in all you set your hand unto, and He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And notice this, verse 9, the Eternal shall establish you a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. That's what has to be done. And then the blessings just overtake us. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall be afraid to attack you, to terrorize you, to sabotage you, to level your embassies and kill your citizens and blow up your buildings. They wouldn't dare think about doing that because God will take care of us and fight our battles for us. And they know that when they attack us, they're attacking God's people, and so they're not going to do that. Wouldn't that be a fantastic position to have? And we could have it, but we don't have it. And so nobody is afraid of us anymore. They spurn us. They sneer at us. They mock us. We still have a tremendous amount of power, but we don't use it when we need to, and we don't use it properly. When we do use it, it seems to just antagonize more and more people toward us. Notice verse 11, Deuteronomy 28, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you. Then the Lord shall open unto you His good treasure, His endless amount of blessings. The heavens shall give the rain unto your land in His season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. You know, if you study history, you know that it hasn't been too long ago that we were the number one nation in the world to lend money to other nations. Number one. Our budget was balanced. We had a tremendous surplus nationally. We had a trade balance that was in our favor to the tune of billions of dollars. And we were the envy of the world. Everybody wanted to move here and be an American. And everybody wanted to be our friend. And everybody appreciated us and respected us. That's all gone now. That's all gone. But He said, if you'll obey Me and put Me first and make sure that you're walking with Me, you're going to lend unto many nations and you're not going to borrow. All the money that we have today is all borrowed money. And it exacts an interest rate that we can't even pay. And it's just out of hand. When is it ever going to be paid off? Who's going to pay it off? Why, you're talking about decades and decades of time of things going well before we would ever even make a dent into our debt, nationally and internationally. What a sordid state of affairs we're in, because we have pushed God out of the picture. We don't want to have anything to do with him nationally, and in many cases individually. Verse 13, "And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them." When you have conferences, you're going to be the number one nation at that conference, the one that everybody wants to hear and listen to and be a friend of. You're going to be the head. But now, increasingly, we're not even invited to conferences or to trade meetings where contracts are being let out and alliances are being formed. Left out. Don't want us anywhere around the table. Used to, we were the number one person at the table, the one everyone wanted to hear from and everyone wanted to do business with. That's all been changed now. We're the tail and not the head, because we're not putting God first in our country. This is the thing now that we'll talk about more as time goes along. Just to answer the question, why are all of these problems happening? Why is it that we keep digging the hole deeper and deeper? Why is it that we see no solutions and no answers in sight? Here it is, right here, verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Now here's why, instead of having blessings overtaking us, we have curses overtaking us. It's because we will not hearken to God, we will not obey him, we will not live his way, we will not keep his commandments. And so instead of having all the blessings that we just went through, so many that it's like they overtake us, here's what we have. Just what God said would happen. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field." Isn't that happening? Why, there are some cities, not only would you not want to get out and walk on the streets, you don't even want to drive through the neighborhood. You could be shot at right in your car, and it happens. Well, it's also getting out into the countryside, and children are at risk of being kidnapped. Schools are at risk of being attacked. You can go to work and be working in your factory, minding your own business and doing your job, and some crazed gunman comes in there and just starts shooting up the place, killing people at random because he got fired or laid off or is mad at somebody in there. "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land and the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep." And I could go on, and you could go on and read how God describes our present situation today and how it's going to get worse and worse. And that's because we will not obey him. We ignore him. We thumb our nose at him. We don't want anything to do with him. We're ashamed of him. Well, all of these catastrophes will become more and more intense and more horrible if we don't come to our senses as a nation and get back to God and his ways as he commands. Let's just turn to one other scripture quickly, which describes the current state of affairs that we find ourselves in. It's found over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Just notice, this is the inspired word of God. I didn't write this. God inspired Paul to write Timothy and record these words, and we're reading them right out of God's word. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, "This know also that in the last days which we're living in, notice, perilous times shall come, dangerous times, and we're living in those times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Where are the morals? Where are the values? Where are the standards that reflect God and his truth and his way in our society today? Out the window. Dirty words, filthy words, nasty, ugly movies and television programs and books and magazines. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Do we have children that really are obedient and respectful and that honor their mother and father? Yes, we do. We have children that are that way, but we don't have enough. They are fewer and fewer and farther between. That needs to change, because you see, that brings on perilous times. That's one of the contributing factors, as we read right here. disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, without feeling, without being willing to help somebody in trouble. Look the other way, drive on by, walk on by, stand by and watch. What kind of society are we living in when that happens? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, just violent. Our sports are getting more violent. Our movies more violent. Everything has to be violent and fierce instead of pleasant and helpful and productive and useful. Violence for the sake of violence. Despisers of those that are good. People who are trying to do the right thing get made fun of, called goody-two-shoes, and ridiculed and ostracized as pariahs. Instead of becoming role models as they rightfully should be, they are pushed out of the picture, just like God's pushed out of the picture and his ways are no longer a factor. Isn't that what it says here? Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Isn't that true? You can fill a baseball stadium, but you can't fill a church. You can fill a movie house, but you can't fill a building to study the Bible. That's just the fact. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, oh, speaking sweet, nice words, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What about the actions? It's easy to talk the talk, but who walks the walk? Notice verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, I wish we could be more encouraging. I wish we could be more positive. I wish we could be more pleasant about the state of affairs in our country and in the world, but the facts just don't lend themselves to that. So we have to sound the warning. We have to sound the alarm. We have to articulate the problems, and we're going to continue to do that. And if you continue to listen, you'll see we're also going to focus on the solutions and what really works. And if the nation won't turn and implement those solutions, then you can turn and implement those solutions in your life, and you then and yours can be blessed and can live the kind of life that God tells us he wants us to have, rather than the kind of life that's happening more and more in our country because he is ignored and his ways are not followed. Be sure and request our free material on America in Prophecy. That's all you have to ask for, and we have material we can send you that will lay out in clear detail where you can read about the United States of America and the prophecies of the Bible. And ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. We'll be glad to send you all of this and anything else we have that you'd like to have, all free of charge. There's no follow-up, and there's no catch, and there's no strings attached. You can go to our website at straightforward.org, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317 and let us know how we can help you. And if you have questions, we'll try our best to answer them. That's 1-800-581-1317. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.